Hey, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to The Political Nomad this week. I'm your host, Josh Gillespie. I don't have a guest this week. On a personal note, my family and I have been getting our house ready for sale, and thank the Lord, it sold in less than 48 hours. But with the Memorial Day holiday and the house being on the market, I didn't get a chance to do an interview. That said, a lot has happened within the last couple weeks in our country, and I wanted to take this time to talk a bit about it. I started this podcast a couple of months ago because I saw what you have seen. Divisions in this country have been getting deeper. Most times it feels as if our nation is leaderless, rudderless, and without direction. Neither party offers much in the way of inspiration, guidance, and hope. But is that what they're really there for? No. Over the decades, we have placed too much hope in our leaders. We have given them too much power over us and expected them to listen, to fix massive problems, and defend us from potential attackers, both foreign and domestic. We keep on forgetting that they are humans and elected to be servants, servant leaders. But they've all been corrupted. Sure, some by lobbyists and the almighty dollar, but they've also become slaves to their party. That affiliation can come with money, prestige, and the illusion of principles. The one thing that my guests have had in common is that they've each had a story, what got them interested in politics, what got them involved in politics, and what eventually pulled back the curtain on politics. And now we sit watching the news, seeing how politics is in its deconstruction phase. And we're in it all together. My wife was reminding me the other day of one of her professors in college who spoke about the end of eras, and that it was her class who had witnessed the end of an era. Meaning that at the end of eras, we see the rise of satirical humor, deconstruction, dystopian literature, and even revolution. This happens at the end of every era. Could we be seeing the end of our current era? Could we be seeing revolution sparking before our eyes and on social media? We certainly have all the other boxes checked. Last week, George Floyd died because of a literal knee was on his neck. It was the perfect picture of authoritarianism on the neck of our society. Millions, if not billions, have seen the deaths of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery at the hand of authoritarian and vigilante justice. African Americans have been under attack since they first landed in our country against their will. They've been bought and sold, slaves to their masters, tortured, lynched, and paraded. Even after they received their emancipation, they were subject to virulent racism, segregation, and redlining, and continued lynchings, being tortured and murdered for the color of their skin. Hatred, racism, and a false arrest led to white riots. That's right, white riots in Tulsa, Oklahoma. White people set fire, destroyed, and firebombed in an affluent African-American neighborhood known as Black Wall Street, all because an African-American boy dared date a white girl. He was arrested for alleged sexual assault, and a white mob thought it better to murder the young man instead of him getting what was likely not even going to be a fair trial. Look up Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Better yet, I'll put it in the show notes. African Americans have been fighting for civil rights for over 80 years in this country. They fought for the desegregation of schools. They marched. They would try to eat in diners. They would get arrested. They tried to protest in peace. They were met with fire hoses and verbal and actual threats, vicious dogs, and were told that looting would lead to shootings. Sound familiar? Martin Luther King led peaceful protests and marches. He was followed, harassed, and wiretapped by the FBI. And he was eventually assassinated. All because he was saying that not only do Black lives matter, but that they deserve rights. The same God-given rights that everyone else who happened to be white enjoyed in America. He was killed. Malcolm X, while more militant, also spoke to the injustice and plight of the African American in America. He too was assassinated. Fast forward 50 plus years and are things getting better? African Americans are still subject to profiling, castigated as thugs and animals, and treated as less than human. They are hunted, profiled, and murdered under the guise of being law violators or in an act of vigilante justice. According to a recent Washington Post piece, quote, a 2017 NPR Robert Wood Johnson Foundation poll found that half of blacks said that they had been unfairly stopped by a police officer. About 6 in 10 said that they or a family member had. That means that if you know two black people, one of them feels they've been treated unfairly by police. Philando Castile, a legal gun owner, who was shot and killed during a traffic stop, despite by-the-book obedience, had previously been pulled over more than 50 times for petty traffic violations. SATIS offers little protection whether you're a professional tennis player, a fellow police officer, a district attorney, or a Republican U.S. senator. According to a 2015 YouGov Huffington Post poll, 74% of black parents had cautioned their children to be cautious around police versus 32% of white parents. A 2016 Pew poll found that 7 in 10 white people thought police usually use the right amount of force versus just 1 in 3 black people. A 2017 Pew poll asked police officers if the high-profile police killings of black people were isolated incidences or part of a more systemic problem. More than 7 in 10 white police officers said these were isolated incidences, while 6 in 10 black officers said they were signs of a broader problem. A 2004 Vera Institute study of justice found that black attitudes about police are shaped far more by personal experiences and the experiences of friends and family than by media coverage. And a 2016 Cato Institute YouGov survey found that blacks were significantly more likely than whites to report being sworn at by police officers and experiencing physical violence at the hand of a police officer. They were also 5 times as likely to expect worse treatment from police because of their race. Perhaps the most revealing survey of all is a YouGov poll last year that found that black people were more worried about being a victim of police violence than being a victim of violent crime. End quote. Now, I'm not here to castigate police officers. Heck, one of my closest friends is in law enforcement. Every day, men and women of all races in this country put on their uniforms to defend the citizenry of their localities. We owe a debt of gratitude to those who put their lives on the line to serve and protect. But even the best departments have bad apples or even bad policies. Bad behaviors get left unchecked and mental health issues are ignored. And it's system issues that need to be addressed in police departments across the country. But when African Americans protest what they see, just like in the past, they're told they're doing it wrong. More recently, when African American athletes have knelt to protest police brutality, they're met with accusations of hatred towards the American flag and our military. So when no one listens, or worse, makes false claims about their protests, what are they left to do? Listen, I am not advocating rioting or violence. I stand with the mayors around the country who have supported the protests but decried the violence. The violence does nothing but continue to inflame the situation. But I get it. When no one listens and you're at your wit's end, something is going to snap. History bears this out. Read up on the French Revolution and even our own American Revolution if you think I'm wrong. And those revolutions each had their bad actors, which led to senseless violence and destruction. Any remember the guillotine or tar and feathering? Heck, the Boston Tea Party? Now is the time to set politics aside and listen. We need to listen to our fellow human beings and then act. But then, if we want real change in this country, we need to vote out those who have continued to lead us down a path of destruction under the guise of greatness. Republicans and Democrats. Both parties share responsibility. We need fresh voices. We need leaders who do not look at their fellow human beings as second-class citizens. Vote the bastards out. Well, this has been a very different and a very short episode of The Political Nomad, but I had to get this off my chest. But you know what? As with every show, I'll have a playlist for this one too. Why not? But to get that playlist, you need to subscribe to my weekly newsletter, The Nomad News, and you can find that at joshgillespie.com. As always, be sure to follow The Political Nomad on the socials, facebook.com/thenomadpod, and at The Nomad Pod on Twitter. If you're watching this episode on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe and hit that little bell to get notifications of a new upload. And finally, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast platforms. So, thank you for listening to my quick rant, and I'll see you again next time.